Welcome in, everybody. It's All Pro Lines, the podcast, your favorite podcast. I don't know. I was going to say it's sort of it's a compliment to what we do on social media, but then maybe it's the other way around. Maybe social media is a compliment to the, anyway, you're a part of the All Pro Lines experience here. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you being here. My name is Kostaki Economopoulos. My guest today is Tom Simmons, my oldest comedy buddy, my oldest and best and great writer. And he's written some of the jokes that I'll do here today. As a matter of fact, he's been traveling around on cruise ships and he's got an interesting life. And, I would like to talk to him. Well, if we were setting it up right now, we would say the winner of the Chiefs Bengals plays the Eagles in the Super Bowl. That's what's going to happen based on what we saw this weekend. Some of the good teams are really – some of the ones we thought were going to be good at the beginning of the season have proved to be really good. And some of the ones we thought would be in the mix are very much in the mix. The Niners and the Dolphins and the Bills and, you know, some of these teams are really kind of – they're kind of separating themselves a little bit. And then, of course, at the bottom, we're having the same thing. There are four, five, six, seven teams that are fucking terrible. Which is a good segue to my Falcons. I wish they weren't so bad, but they're bad. We can't deny it. Jerry Oliver's here. Ron Milford's here. Heather Saigo. Good to see you guys. Thanks for being here. That's awesome. That means a lot, guys. All right. Let's I gained an hour Sunday morning, got a little extra hour in, and then the Falcons wasted three of them, so I'm still down two. how did the Falcons lose this game? The Vikings, they have a good quarterback. There's one good quarterback on their team, and he tears his Achilles, so he's out. Then their backup quarterback is out with a back injury. Then the backup gets a concussion, and they have to play a guy who got there on Wednesday. He literally never took a snap in practice. Not one time with the team. He never took a snap from this center. And he managed to scrape and claw his way to a victory, this crazy purple team. So kudos to them and to this particular player, Josh Dobbs. Our coach, Arthur Smith, man. He managed to keep our best players out of any situation where they could help the team. They were screwing around and fumbling and throwing interceptions, allowing long touchdowns. I don't know about keeping up with the Joneses, but keeping up with the Smiths, not that hard. So the Vikings just traded this week. Tuesday, they traded for Joshua Dobbs from the Cardinals. He's got a degree in aerospace engineering. He interned with NASA. He gets to the Vikings on Wednesday. He doesn't have a single practice prep, whatever. Then they need him. You know what he said? Hey, this isn't rocket science. It's just quarterbacking. The man's a rocket scientist. Are we sure that being the 35th best quarterback in the NFL is really is the best use of his time? We could be colonizing Mars, but instead we're going to get the Vikings to 7-10. He's a rocket scientist. Does that make him the opposite of Andy Dalton, the Amish rifle? That is kind of those are the two. All right. You know who isn't a rocket scientist? Deontay Johnson. Steelers wideout Deontay Johnson was fined for ripping the officials last week. Among other things, he said, they was calling some stupid stuff, and I don't care what nobody say. He can also expect a strongly worded email from Mrs. Case, my ninth grade English teacher. George Pickens, another wideout, frustrated. He scrubbed the Steelers from his Instagram page and posted a story that said, free me. But free Pickens sounds like a sign in an apple orchard. It's confusing for everybody. Kenny Pickett's the quarterback. I'm starting to think it was a bad idea to draft a quarterback whose name literally means intercept me. His whole name dares you to intercept it. Kenny Pickett. That's his name. Turns out they can't. Seven rookies got the start. And then we had some other quarterbacks. It was so many backups. It was crazy. It was more backups than a moonwalking contest. See, that's a lot of backups. This is my dumbest joke, but I can't stop giggling. I'm doing it anyway. It's a stretch. I know this intellectually, but I'm doing it. Other backups came in too. The Giants played Tommy DeVito. He has no experience. That's the premise you need here. He's got no experience. They should get Danny DeVito. Hold on. I'm doing it again. Take two. The Giants played Tommy DeVito. He has no experience. They should get Danny DeVito. At least he's thrown Mama from the train. I don't care. I don't care. I like it. No need to change the clocks in the Raiders facility since the owner has already set the team back a decade. The Raiders are now paying two prior coaches who aren't coaching for them $85 million to not coach for them. Imagine. Mark Davis has a team in worse shape than his hair. It's really, hey, he should sign a deal with Sports Clips to say he goes to Supercuts. That's what he should do. This week, the Raiders moved the ball finally, and Josh McDaniels moved his family. They should have some kind of vocational training program, you know, some kind of for former Patriots assistants and coordinators, teach them computer program or some kind of practical skill they can use out there in the world. The Raiders are going bananas. I don't know if you saw the clips. They're smoking cigars in the locker room and they're celebrating. They're 4-5. Can we loan these guys the mission accomplished banner? It's a little, boy, that's an old reference. You get, it's got to hurt when you're the former head coach and your players are celebrating, you're getting fired. Like your best friend just had a baby. Football in Germany. It's a little different. The ref kept calling illegal use of the hands. H-A-N-S. See, that joke's good in writing, but I don't think it works. It works out. That's from Brian Kiley. That's good writing. Jalen Hurts has an audible where he yells, Tiger Woods. What does that mean? You bang some models and crash your car? I'm just guessing. Is that when you change the... Is that when the quarterback sneaks around on his wife? That's the Tiger Woods play. Is that when you make a pass to an Applebee's waitress? Is that when your girlfriend breaks your windshield with a golf club and you lose your endorsements? Tiger Woods should mean you checked into a play that was really great 10 years ago. See, that's the... All right. Arizona got crushed 27-0. You'd think a team named the Cardinals would have a prayer. No. Texans couldn't kick field goals for a while because their kicker got hurt. The Cardinals couldn't kick field goals because they suck and it never got close enough. I'm going to a Cardinals game. I should do the plugs. This is a bad time to do the plugs, but I don't care. It's my thing. I do whatever I want. This weekend, I'm going to Wisconsin. Janesville, Oshkosh, Eau Claire. Tickets are selling well. If you're in Wisconsin, you want to come buy your tickets right now. Make sure you get in. Looks like we're going to have three ass-kicking great, great fun shows. Bob and Tom have been great support. There's a little fabric of community there to help get the word out. It's going really well, so I'm excited. And then Sunday, I am going to get up at the – still going to be dark, and I'm going to get to an airport, and I'm going to fly to Phoenix, where I'll be arriving and running around and drinking beer with Andreas and going to see the Falcons-Cardinals game. I'm so excited. Taylor Heinicke. I was kidding him. I said, you got to pack your Taylor. We've been going back and forth. He thinks they should play Ritter. I'm like, you got to pack your Taylor Heinicke jersey. He goes, yeah, there's probably only two of those sold. That's assuming that both of his parents are alive. Get your Heinicke Falcons jersey. They're flying off the shelves. Now this is interesting. The Texans back up. I didn't do the plugs. All right, hold on. So I'm doing the gigs. I also got Fargo, Sioux Falls, Ashtabula, Erie coming up. Cameo. You got a gift for somebody? You got to get a gift? Nobody knows what to get anybody anymore. Things are boring. Get an experience. Get me. Get me. I'll roast his favorite football team for a minute and a half. I'll say hi. Wish happy birthday to grandma. Whatever you want. I'm happy to do it. It's cheap and easy and different and memorable. It's a perfect gift. I actually love Cameo as a gift. It's a perfect gift. Rate the pod. Whatever your platform is that you're listening to, go and rate, give us a 5-star review. It will help the algorithm know that we're doing a thing that people like. And Patreon. Last week we had Patreon supporters here right here on the podcast as our guests. It's one of the little perks we do. We don't do a lot of perks. It's mostly what we pitch to you is the idea of the old patronage system, right? In the old days, there was a king or a pope, and he would have an artist to live on the property and feed him and stuff and support him so he could do the art. That's the modern day. We do it with credit cards and Patreon. It's a similar idea. It's like just put a little $5 thing on there. It goes to All Pro Lines. You're supporting the things you like in the world. Vote with your dollars. That's what we pitch. All right, let's do a few more jokes and we'll bring in Tom. Looks like Tom's here. So this is fascinating to me. The Texans' backup emergency kicker is the running back. And in the fourth quarter, he got the go-ahead field goal. Darian Gumbali. Ogun Bunwali. I think I'm right. He's the first non-kicker to make a field goal in 20 years. Unless you count all those guys who kicked for the Vikings for a while. Well, those are... emergency kicker was in that game. We had an emergency quarterback for the Vikings. Can the Falcons get an emergency coach? Can we get an emergency general manager? It's definitely an emergency. This is an earnest question. How is the punter not the best backup place kicker? How is like the beefy backup running back? How is he better at kicking field goals than the punter? Punters, get some range in your activities. We got to consult Pat McAfee. There must be an answer to this. I don't understand what it is. Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson started Sunday. Started what? Acting like a grown-up? He said not being on the field with his guys was hard on him. Quote, this is the most guilt I've ever felt. Really? Two dozen women would like a word. Two baker's dozen. I believe it's 26. And those are the ones we know about. I'd say he put his foot in his mouth, but that sounds like something he might be into. It's kind of an underrated story that the Browns were terrible for 20 years. They finally started to get okay, and then they signed a quarterback that made them impossible to root for. It's like they found a whole new dimension of football suckitude. I feel bad for the people in Northern Ohio. I like you, but the Browns are fun to watch fail, I have to say. Although this week they beat a terrible team badly. We'll see. My kid likes Triceratops and Stegosaurus. I prefer Gene Steratore. He's my favorite. He's... All right. It's a dumb joke. Jim Nantz and Tony Romo are going to be on Super Bowl commentators this year. Romo is likely to be the only cowboy at the game. Romo's role is color commentary. Isn't that what got John Gruden fired? Isn't that what Jimmy the Greek did? It's too much color commentary. All right, that's enough with the jokes. Let's bring in our guest. He's one of my best friends. I haven't seen him in a while personally, but I love this guy. We started together doing comedy, and we still write jokes for each other, and he wrote several of the jokes I just did. He's awesome. He's a great dude, one of the best comics in America, great writer. He's running around cruise ships. I want to check in with him and see what's going on. Tom Simmons, everybody. Hey, friend.
Hey, man. Good to see you.
Good to see you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm a little groggy. I had a weird, 20-hour day of flying yesterday, so... Yeah. Anyway, I'm good.
I don't want to get too inside baseball, but I do have several questions about the ships. You're doing some ships.
Right.
How, first of all, broadly, how is it doing the ships recently? Is it good? Are you enjoying it?
I am. I'm sort of renewed on comedy again for some reason. I'm excited about it. And, I got them in. That's good, man. It reminds me of like when we would drive around doing like Comedy Zone rooms and Yoda rooms and stuff like that, where, you can get kind of cheerleady, or you can just dig in and work on comedy. So that's kind of what I'm doing. So, and the crowds are good. I work a bunch of different lines. So I'm all over the place. I work NCL and I'm working Carnival and I'm working Holland and Princess and now MSC. So it's like I'm starting to do them, a bunch of them, and they all have a little different flavor to them. So like one is right. Like just old white people, and one is groups of, it's like a really mixed crowd. Carnival probably has the best like crowds because they're real, there's like lots of different races, lots of different ages, and then the comedy club itself is sort of what it is, and then one ship will be like, it's really crappy conditions that you're staying in where you feel like a prisoner, and others are you staying in a guest room with a balcony, so in that, but the shows are kind of just okay. So it's a mix, but I just like being a comedian. So to me, it's their stages and they pay to be a comedian. So I like it. So I'm starting to get to the point where I've got whatever my five different half hours on this one, and then we got to do 45s on this one, some clean, some, so it's like you're doing the whole the whole basket of jokes that you've ever written all through the week. So it's
right.
One, it's there's a negative in that you're still doing like stuff you wrote 20 years ago, but you're also doing stuff you just wrote, you're reaching back, and I had to relearn a bunch of old jokes and listen to CDs and, you know what I mean, to find material, and then I would write more. Initially it was harder to just throw stuff out there, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah, ships get a little bit of a weird rap within the comedy community sometimes, but man, if you, it takes a real grizzled veteran to do them well. There's so many aspects and factors, and you got to do this half hour, you can't repeat it there, and you got to do 8 minutes, and then you got to be clean, then you got to do an adult show, and if you're not adult enough, if you're like super clean, you're not adult at all, then they're bored. But there's so many things you got to
figure out. Yeah. And then it's like a lot, you know, and then it's like you get a list from the ship of like, here's the jokes, here's the topics that we are not allowed to talk about. And it's it's like on some of them, and it's like, oh, that's my set list, right?
No, like, politics, no religion, no Federal Reserve. I can't do jokes about the Federal Reserve.
Oh, dude,
how am I gonna?
I haven't done that one, that chunk in a little while. I mean, I'll do it maybe. I'll do that like once a month or whatever. I just have enough that I get around it. But I don't know. It's fun. Yeah. It's crazy. And I sort of ignore the list unless it's specific to me. You know, I can't worry about like that other people can't figure out how to do touchy subjects and make everybody laugh. That's not my problem. No, you know what I mean?
Oh, good for
you. I'll just sort of, you know, cause one time I'll get a review that'll be like, oh, we love what he does, you know, blah, blah, blah. He takes these big subjects and he talks about them and makes everybody laugh without offending people, you know, whatever, you know. And then the next one's like, he can't talk about blah, blah, because they don't listen. They just hear the words. So then I just ignore it and just do my show and do well. And if I do well, I do, you know. But the road used to be the same thing, man. We used to get the same crap about working the road. It'd be like, they're a road comic. And that's what everything. And then you go to New York or L.A., blah, 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 and they're all trying to get on the road. I just like doing comedy. So it's. This is where I can do it, you know, and the crowds are like real people. It's cool, you know.
So it's changed. You do ships way more than I have ever done, but I was telling somebody asked me about ships, and I was saying when I first did several of them back in the day, they really didn't care if you were funny. They just didn't want a letter from an old lady. They were just did the most vanilla possible shit to survive. But in the old days, there were a couple things that are different. One, the crowds were older. They hadn't really marketed them to families yet. So they were old crowds, and the shows they were used to seeing was just all these Broadway-style things where you change hats and feathers 47 times. And it was a very old-school kind of a ethic on the ship. But now on modern ships, the comedy is usually in a place where you have to pick to go to. So it's at least a little bit self-selected instead of just being force-fed to everybody who's there.
Right. I did it early in the early 2000s. Serena and I went on, like, you know, and that was when I was like, it was like, I was the, you know, that was when I was in my Bill Hicks stage or whatever. Anyway, so it was not a comfortable week.
Right.
As Serena and I went around, it felt sort of weird because that was like, you know, like that was me and you, like, I don't know how you feel about like how politics and stuff and everything is now. Like, there's a lot of liberals that would not call me liberal probably now, like on the far left.
Oh,
but there's no conservatives that would call me a conservative. I could tell you that. But back in, you know, we've been liberals for a long time. You know what I mean? Like gay marriage and blah, blah, like all these things that we sort of fought for and made fun of that were like opposite of what the comics were doing back then. Right.
Right.
You know, it's just funny. Yeah,
gun control, right?
Yeah.
Homophobia, yeah, some of the things that were very tough to talk about in like Southern one-nighter comedy environments.
or just on the road because everybody was divided or everybody was pro-war and let's go to Iraq and we're like, what the fuck? Like, you know, so, So we've been liberal, like we're old ass liberal. You know what I mean? We fought for gay marriage and we made fun of a guy for sucking. You know what I mean? We were like, we want women to have equal rights and be in the workplace, and we wanted to do that at Hooters. You know what I mean? We were.
But that
we were like, we love little people. We have nights where we toss them at the thing, and they were wrestling, and then the midgets would be like, "You can't call us midgets anymore, you retard." We're like, "What?" Yeah.
I see why they have to give you a list on the ships. That's funny. But the other thing that changed with ships is that the cohort of people who are on them has changed. First of all, people are a lot younger now as an age average, because now there's families and, you know, in the old days it was old people who went on cruises, and now it's everybody. And even the people who are old now grew up watching Carlin. So comedy is not like some new young man's game the way it was two decades ago.
You got to be clean, unashamed, but you do, but you don't, you just got to not curse a lot. I can still do all the subjects. Like my adult show is not me just being dirt. It's like, I'm like, we're adults here. Let's talk about real thing. You know what I mean? I just do.
Right.
It's just comedy, man. I have to shave off a few of those jokes that I've always done that are like, that'll even punch the people that agree with me in the face a little bit. You know what I mean? I have to take off one joke out of the religion stuff. Like if I'm talking about guns, I could do the you're a pro Christian, you're an anti sane gun laws Christian. You know what I mean? What, even the resurrection came with a 3-day waiting period. You know what I mean? Stuff like Jesus was the Prince of Peace, not the Prince of Peace. You know what I mean? Church is supposed to be a safe place where, you know, only, you know, what is it? This is the one I got rid of. Church is supposed to be a safe place where only critical thinking gets killed. You know, it's like, and so I take that off. I'll take that joke off.
That's a great line. So you have to soften the edges a little bit. Right.
Yes. In which I used to be like, I'm not doing that. You know, I just do jokes, man. I just have fun.
That's cool. Like being a comedian. So, but this time you didn't, because when I think of ships, I think of you're just floating around the Caribbean and you're doing, you know, you went to some interesting places on this last few trips, man. Tell us about that, because I want to hear what it's like to be a comic on a ship that's in fucking the Aegean Sea is way more interesting to me.
Yeah, I got less work done. You know what I mean? As far as like, when I'm out there, I try to get up every day, meditate, read, get to the gym, and write, you know, and do all those things every day. So it's like, I'm at work. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I still want to get better at this and keep, you know, get great. So I'm still out there grinding. Those you end up going out and doing stuff. Cause like, I've never been, we went to like, you know, whatever, you land in Rome and you drive down the countryside and get on about an hour and get on a ship. And then you float to Turkey and then you're going to different places in Italy and Greece and Mykonos and Santorini and, you know, all these, just every place. So cool. It's like, but they're really cool. You go in and you wander around and you meet people and you're like, every place is lit. It's so clean and stuff over in Europe. That's kind of what I was surprised by. And then you just go and wander around ruins and it's like, oh, geez, like, the ruins are in better shape than the tourists. You know, like, it's like, it's just, do they build anything new? You know, like, they didn't build Rome in a day, but they sure stopped working on it. So I don't know. And most of the people spoke English, you know, so that's good, you know, but it's still t-shirt and trinket shops. You know what I mean? Still the same. Like, right. If you want to go on a cruise ship, practice not making eye contact with a jewelry salesman. Cause that's what you're doing. You know,
that's what you're doing. What? And bingo. Can we interest you in roulette?
Yeah. Yeah. I stick to myself mostly in the other comics and then go do a few things. I should probably take advantage of the cruise ships more as far as like going on adventures and stuff. I'm there to do my jokes and live and get work done, you know?
Yeah.
I'm pretty cheap too. I get off in Greece and they're like, let's go eat. And I'm like, what is the whole bowl here, free food? Yeah, but it's not today. And it's like, I want to, I want a gyro. And then I'm just, you know, I'm like, I like food the way I'm used to getting it. So it's like, where's the gyros? You don't have a gyro. What are we in? What are you in Greece? What are you putting French fries in my gyro? Like, what are you doing? Like, you know, you guys don't know what you're doing. The guy at the food court, he's right. Got that.
They're making it too Greek.
Yes. So, but it's funny. The audiences change depending on where you go and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, it's just, it's just. People used to, when you drive around the country, people are like, oh, what's it like being in Louisville? It's the same. It's the same everywhere. It's the same. You just get out, you eat, you know what I mean? I guess it's more adventurous. People find stuff to do everywhere. When I'm in Indianapolis, I do the shows and hang out with my friends there. And then I'm not off exploring Indianapolis.
Right. Yeah. I've gotten I sort of been through cycles with that where I sort of like, I'm not doing any of that shit, you know? And then, eventually, like somebody goes, hey, I went to see the blub. And I'm like, oh, wow, I should have done that when I was there.
Yeah. I leave a lot of places like I should have done that. But I worked with a couple comics that are like, hey, let's get off the ship and do this, blah, blah, blah. And if there's somebody like that, then I'll be like, all right, yeah. Because if somebody else is into it, then I figure it must be pretty cool. Then it must be pretty cool.
I love when the local comic or the cruise ship director, whatever, the person that knows the thing, they take you to the thing like, oh, that's great.
Yeah, yeah.
You get to go to the cool beach where it's... Yeah, right.
Actually, the comic Chris Wiles was on the last ship, and he wants to get off everywhere. So it's like, yeah. So I get off like 3 of the 4 days with him or something, and go hang out, and that stuff ends up being fun. You know, human interaction ends up being all right.
Happy to hear that. At least in theory.
There's no sports. There's no sports on the TV. Like, you know what I mean? So that's hard to keep up with that kind of stuff. The internet is sort of, you know, spotty whether you're going to get on or not, you know. So it's right. there's a few trade-offs. Yeah.
That's the thing about ships that people don't know. The part of the joy of the ship is that for the customers is you get to get on and you kind of disconnect from the world. But when you're a comic and you're working on the ship, you're fucking disconnected from the world.
Yes.
And sometimes it's a few weeks in a row and you're like, I don't know what's happening. I can't never talk to anybody. It's a weird bit of a weird existence.
Yeah.
But it's good for them. But you're a weird recluse anyway. It seems like a perfect situation for you.
Yeah, it is. I used to be all about social media and like really, I mean, as far as not all about it, but I used to really spend a lot of time on Facebook, especially arguing, and man, wasted like 12 years doing that. You know what I mean? Like embracing the negative stuff of somebody says something sideways to you, you just go off on it. Like I'm just trying, I can tell when I'm not, you know, connected right. Well, if I go on and everybody's irritating me and I start going after people with my opinions, and it's like, all right, you need to go meditate, you need to get away from this or something, you know.
I'm impressed that you meditate and exercise so much. I could use a little of both of those in my life.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk some football, man. How do you you're a longtime Falcons fan.
I don't know. I feel like they got rid of the GM a while ago, and they got a coach. They got a coach, you know. And then I don't know. I kind of like this coach. The team was terrible, like, and they shouldn't have been after Dan Quinn left. You know, when Dan Quinn was there, he was supposed to be rebuilding, and they spent all that money on that quarterback that they couldn't get rid of. You know, and, yeah, I'm just playing because I know you hate it and want him to have a quarterback, but I wish they were better, but I kind of accept that they're not. You know, I haven't been able to watch football as much as I used to. And I'm a baseball fan. So I spend my sports energy on baseball a lot. Yesterday, right. You know, I'll watch here and there. But there's not a team that I'm like super excited to watch, you know, that much anymore. You know,
yeah.
I'm annoyed. I want to ask you about this. Like the NFL is really earlier in the year, they suspended all those players for gambling. Right. But their whole thing is, half the advertisements are for gambling sites. Like your advertiser is working. It's just working on the players. It's, you know, like,
yeah.
It's working. Advertising.
It's definitely a tricky dance that they're dancing, but you understand if the people in the room that you're betting on are also betting, it does at least,
of course,
you know, look bad.
I'm okay with Pete Rose still being suspended, because I'm like, that's big, you know what I mean? They need to make sure that players aren't a zero tolerance policy, I guess. And my son's like, they're just playing, it's just a thing they're doing. It's not, they're not affecting the game. And it's like, it's all these hypotheticals, right? Like if you're going to get down, you're going to get down a lot of money. And then it's like, if I could just shave off 7 points here and then I get rid of that debt. Now they got you, you know what I mean? And then now they got you. Anytime they call you, you have to do what they say, you know, it's that thing.
Right.
But that's all of us, right? If you give up on your morals or standards at all, you chip away at it. Then it's like, oh, well, I'm not going to do that. And then you do it a little bit and then it just puts you in a bad position to go down that road.
Right. So. And even if it doesn't, it looks like it could, which is bad for the business. Right. So you understand why they have to.
But everybody already thinks the NFL's not everybody, but there's enough of these people that think the NFL's scripted and blah, blah, blah. Like,
that's crazy. I will say the one thing that I have a little like,
I'm shaking my head like, listen, I thought 9/11 was an inside job. And I'm like, they can't control football games.
It does feel like when the game, like do the refs err a little towards the team that's losing? They want to keep it close a little. Cause I feel like you call holding on any play. Right. And then sometimes they call it and sometimes they don't. It's just, if you're going to find a conspiracy anywhere, it's in the human ethic of let's keep it close. Right.
Or, you know, if one coach is just being an ass to you all game and there's a close play, you know what I mean? It's human nature, right? To be like, yeah.
Especially if it's a gray area anyway, right? Of course. If it's black and white, then you can't. But if it's in the middle.
Right, right.
Fuck that guy.
Yes. And I don't know how you eliminate that human nature thing, which is, I don't know, it ends up being part of the fun overall, probably, unless it goes against your team.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, let's do this. We have a few segments on the program. Hold on, you know this. Taps on the back. Taps on the back. Taps on the back. Taps on the back. Not a kudos. 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 Kudos. Aqib Talib probably doesn't know that he's a song on All Pro Lines, the podcast.
Yeah, is that who that is? I don't even know who that is. Yeah. I would like the song. I would like the song breaks to be a touch shorter.
Yeah, okay, I understand. There's a couple more long ones coming up. I'll make a note for the producer.
The very beginning one, you know what I mean? It's cool. I see you dancing around with the music, and I'm like, okay, people are logging in. That's, you know what I mean?
It takes a second. Right, that's right. It's a good note. It's your first good note. All right. Today, I don't mean ever. You have good notes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm enjoying this season of like, I used to, when I wrote with you, feel like a little obligated to, I have to go write jokes for Kostaki today or blah, 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 you know, or with Kostaki today. And now I'm like, I just text you whatever I think and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, that's a good joke. You know what I mean?
It's perfect fun. For you. I don't hear from you for a month. And then one day you'll send me like seven good jokes. I'm like, oh, look at Tom.
Yeah. All right. Segment.
CJ Stroud. Rookie record. No rookie has ever thrown for 470 yards in a game. It's amazing. Five touchdowns. Yeah.
I mean, he's amazing, but that doesn't seem unrealistic. That's great. Yeah, it's a great
You're
game.
A kid. You just started. You're new to the whole thing. Dan Marino didn't do it. Joe Montana. None of these people did it. None of the big shot. Mahomes never did it. It's kind of, you know, I mean, this kid just started.
Falcons beat him.
And his teams isn't even really very good, but he's making them good. Texans.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I find him. I wish the Falcons could get on a time machine and go back and suck a little extra last year and draft that guy.
That's the problem. They are just bad enough.
Every year. That's the thing. Yes. Like, just fucking be terrible. Last year, they had the perfect situation. They couldn't win. They got Marcus Mariota for a song. They paid all of Matt Ryan's and Julio Jones money from the year prior. They did it exactly right. They just were like, fuck it. We're going to get back to zero so that we can build again. And except that they won several games. Why? Why? So annoying. And this year, if they had a good quarterback, they'd be 6-2 or whatever, but they don't. So here we are.
Yeah, I don't know. Then they wouldn't have six of the guys they got on defense. You know what I mean? They got it. You only got so much money to spend per year. So they got to, like, it's like Kansas City, right? They you sink all those money, all that money into Mahomes and blah, 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 and now you have to have a downgrade a little bit on your receivers and your running back, and maybe a little bit less on the line. And then over time that wears out your team, you know, then you're thinner all through your lineup. So the injuries happen and blah, blah, blah. So sinking all that money into one, you're right though. It ends up making a difference. I don't know. So that's the balance. What do you do? You know,
They're not sinking money into CJ Stroud. They got the perfect situation. They got a cheap guy for 4 or 5 years. It's the dream NFL scenario.
Yeah.
So, you know, but you got to be really bad to get that draft pick.
I'm so glad they didn't get Deshaun. You know, I watched this, you talk about this. I don't know what this segment is that I'm supposed to do, but I watched this a couple of weeks ago when you had Bowers on, and he brought up Watson, and you guys briefly said something like, it'd be a good movie, the killing Deshaun. And that's really stuck with me. It could be like a Beverly Hills Cop. I'm gonna pitch it to Miss Pat. You know what I mean? That's such a and change him to the Falcons or something. You know what I mean? It's such a great
Miss Pat could actually make it get it done.
Yes, and it's you know I don't know how to write movies, but I got a movie for you.
You don't know how to write TV shows either, but you did that. Yeah,
that's true. So I just learn it as it goes. It's really. I really end up being just a joke writer on that show. So on that show, I just
of course that's what you should be. That's what you're good at.
Yeah.
Nobody can learn to do what you did without spending a zillion years at something. The skill that you have is way more interesting and rare than I can write the structure of a TV show.
Yeah, I can tell you right now, I was really bad as a rookie. You know what I mean? This whole thing about the rookie quarterback starting to me, I was like, it really points out, like, it's hard to be good at something right away. Like, it makes me worry about if I'm ever on a flight with a first-year pilot, or I need that guy to have the 400-yard game. You know what I mean? I want the rookie that comes out of the gate. How long have you been doing surgery? I just started last week. What? Like, you don't really think about how bad rookies are at things.
Yeah. Until right. That's why this kind of things are impressive.
Yes.
But being good at anything is hard. It's hard to do. That's right.
They don't tell you how long. They don't tell you that they're rookies. You know what I mean? They don't tell you, I've only been doing this a year or two. Like, and then you just think, they're good. They must be good at it if they're doing it. But they're all equally terrible at it all at every job. Nobody walks into a job as a rookie and is great at it.
Well, CJ Stroud's pretty good.
Yes. We need CJ Stroud's.
So I'm giving kudos. This is unusual. Yes. So I brought you around. You started this segment with, I don't know, it's such a big deal. 470 yards seems totally possible. All right. You want to give some taps?
When I was with the first time I was with a girl, I was like, come on, I'm a rookie. I'm not going to be good. Yeah.
I just started today.
Game over. Oh, yeah.
Ronnie Bullard.
Yes.
I learned a phrase. I used it for 3 years when I started waiting tables. I just started today. And his other line that sticks with me always, which I still think about sometimes when I see the animal, penguins mate for life. You think just once, one of them will go, honey, I swear to God, I thought that was you.
Is that his joke? That's great. That's you know who else has a version of that is Tom Rhodes.
Tom Rhodes does a penguins mate for life joke.
Yeah, that's my baby. You remember he used to have that sort of like, he has that really cool like bouncing around. Like he'd be like, the penguins mate for life. They look at all the penguins and they're like, that's my baby. It's classic to me, Rhodes, where it's not really a joke.
It's not a joke, exactly. Yeah.
But the way he sort of does it makes it funny, you know?
When Gary took me to see Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle, he was one of the comics who was there. There were about 5 or 7 dudes that I knew who would just like came to kiss the ring and hang around and see a great show, you know? And he was one of them. I hadn't seen him in forever.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever met him.
I met him in a million years ago. He was running around doing drugs with Hedberg, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Speaking of Chappelle, I went and saw him again when I was writing on Pat. I went. He was working on his probably it was like a year or a half ago. So it was probably whatever 6 specials ago. Anyway, he was working on his special at Gary's club in Atlanta, right? And so I went there and saw him like three nights in a row. I just sat in a corner and watched. And I worked with him when he was just starting back to stand up before his first Netflix special, like in this little 10-year run that we're having. I remember I had to get another buddy to go do the first show because I was coaching one of my son's baseball games. And then I went and did the second show. And I ended up doing like three or four shows on that tour, like here in right around here in North Carolina. And, you know, I didn't really connect with him, or I talked to him a little bit backstage here and there, but hardly at all. And then Gary was like, hey, you want to meet him? And I'm like, yeah, sure. I go back there. So he brings me back there and I go in the green room to meet him. And he's like, hey, man, because we've met, right? We you look very familiar. Where did we meet before? I'm like, we've met, yeah, but you won't remember. It's just weird how his memory is that good. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah. What's the way you meet one of these like crazy geniuses that remembers everything?
You're like, yeah. What the fuck? Like you don't remember? Like, and he's like, yeah, dude. We were together. Yeah, you know, I'm like, oh, wow. That's crazy. Cause I barely remember any of the conversation we had, you know?
Right. That's cool. All right. Give us who you giving taps to this week.
What games did I watch? I watched, I don't know. Who do I give? What you mean? Like a taps, like a good job.
Kudos and taps. That's the segment. That's what we give kudos and taps.
Okay.
Here.
Somebody's defense. How about that? How about the dude I give it to the dude that beat the Falcons, that quarterback for that came. He's never Josh taken Dobbs. A snap his whole in the yes. And he just comes in. He's never thrown to those guys. He's never taken a snap from the quarterback. And then comes in and beats the Falcons. Right now, I got that bonus coverage of the end of that game. And I'm like, oh no, there's a minute left. Somebody else has the ball. Here we go.
I've been seeing clips. Like, yeah, I know. I'm seeing clips of like when he had to go in on the sideline. He's literally snapping the ball with the center for the first time. Ever.
Yeah. That,
he never had a single snap in practice because they had a rookie that they were trying to get ready to play. And he had just gotten
there. That kind of stuff like tears me up a little bit. You know what I mean? It does.
I know.
Like,
it's really kind of beautiful.
Somebody that's just that kind of story of just like a guy, he doesn't really know any of those guys. They don't even know if they respect. And then you just go in and have that kind of thing happen. Like you get that stuff is, I love it. You know, I just love that sort of the emotion of like, good for that guy. And I think about like all the work he put in and his family,
right.
You know, it's just good for him, you know, where he didn't just go in and have an average thing happen or it's just cool. You know, I really like that kind of stuff, you know, and kudos to the Raiders team for basically getting rid of their shitty coach.
Having
a meeting with them and then going like you go upstairs and talk to the owner and like
the pictures and the videos coming out afterwards about how happy the receivers are and like they're in the locker room smoking cigars running around like they just won the Super Bowl.
God, that's the opposite end of the spectrum of like I even feel sorry for the guy. Like
I know
I didn't get to see him be a jerk to everybody, so I don't feel like. You just picture like he's in there picking up his stuff just as everybody's right. Like, yay.
It's the opposite of a gold watch. It's videos of how happy we are that you're gone.
Yes. Some third stringer that really liked McDaniels is going like, sorry, coach, I'm going to miss you. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
to
right.
Sneak there's in one, and, there's to one sneak kid in and say goodbye.
He's never going to get another play. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Let's segue to this.
All right, kids. Put your thinking caps on. It's quiz time.
This one's pretty quick. All right.
Oh, it was. Yeah.
Since you weren't impressed with the rookie record, 470 yards for CJ Stroud. Who did he beat? Now, this happened to a couple of these quiz things happen to be on mainstream media. So if you happen to see it, it's fine. But who was holding that record prior?
Oh.
Rookie record for quarterback yards in a single game.
Is it somebody modern? Like, is it like a Jalen Hurts
both of the names that I have on this list were somewhat recently.
Kyler Murray, kind of weird.
Yeah, you know? That's the right universe. Yeah, a little further back.
Those are my picks.
Oh, okay. Andrew Luck, 433 yards in one game.
Oh, okay.
And And Andrew had just edged out 432 yards held by Cam Newton when he was a rookie.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't Cam imagine him
beast, man.
Throwing for that many yards. Because I know he probably ran for 150 in that game too, right?
Yeah. What was that game?
He had a good run, man.
Who was he again? Do you know that game?
No, I don't. But I bet that game's fun to watch. I remember like he had that big wide receiver out of Florida State that ended up trying to convert into a tight end. He sort of ate himself out of the league. He got kind of fat. Remember that guy?
Benjamin or something?
Yes, Kelvin Benjamin. That's exactly right.
I'm a Florida State fan, so I loved him. I just thought he was a beast. And then this guy's going to dominate. And then they just don't, you know.
He did well. He had a good run, but he, you know, got a little out of shape or whatever. And
he dropped the ball a lot too. He was never very good. He's in the NFL starting. He's not any good.
I know, right. I've said this for years when people are screaming, "You suck." Like, this guy's the 42nd best in the world at what he does. He doesn't suck. Take it easy.
Yes. You know? Like, yes.
Take it easy.
Like, don't yell that at a comic. Don't yell that at a, like, he doesn't suck. He's the best at this of everybody you ever met. And you're yelling, "You suck at it."
All right, now this is a question. This question is, again, I don't expect you to know this. I just find the answer to be interesting. He's the sixth player to ever throw. This is, again, C.J. Stroud. He's the sixth player ever, not just rookies, of all time in NFL history, to throw 450 yards, 5 touchdowns, and no picks in a single game. Do you have any idea who the other 5 guys were? You want to throw out some names? This is an interesting list.
If it was no throwing picks, it wasn't Cam Newton.
That's right. Lots of yards, 5 touchdowns, and no picks in a single game.
Yeah. Dan Marino?
Yeah, that's a great guess. He's not on this list.
But they didn't.
I would have definitely guessed Drew Brees for this.
Yeah.
Brees had a bunch of, like, huge games with no picks, I think. But according to this, he's not on this list.
Who did Randy Moss play with? Let's see. Give me a Randall Cunningham and Tom Brady.
Yeah, that's the right universe. All right, here's my list. Here's the list. Peyton Manning, Big Ben, Jared Goff, Donovan McNabb, and Y.A. Tittle. What year was that?
Wow.
Y.A. Tittle's in...
Is that like 47? When is that?
He's in black and white. He's in one of those pictures where he's like punting and his arms are out like this. Like that's.
I bet he could have kicked a field goal.
Yeah, these guys did everything.
I think the thing, going back to your question about the punters and why aren't they good kickers? Because it's a different kicking motion, and they're probably like, it might hurt his leg to do it that way. It's like why they don't bring in a third baseman to pitch anymore. They're like, you know what I mean? It's the throw's different, and it's going
to
mess up his shoulder, and sometimes it does, you know.
So
maybe
it's
something like that.
This answer, yeah. Right.
Yeah, but the 470, I don't know, man. You're very excited about this, CJ. I think it's a fluke game. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's just a.
It's not, though. He's been so good all year, and he's just a kid. It's amazing. When you
wasn't
see him in
the
interview
the
after, it's like, he's not. Falcons knew how to shut him down. The magical team, the Falcons. The mighty Falcons. Oh, so annoyed. You know, I was trying to explain this to somebody earlier. In prior years, I had more of like the acceptance that you have of like, yeah, they're not very good right now. It's all right. But this year I'm annoyed because the players are good. And I feel, and maybe part of it's fantasy. Like,
are
Drake
they?
London. Yes. Drake London is top 10 wide receiver in the NFL right now. And Kyle Pitts is definitely top 5 tight end in the NFL right now.
How can you say that when they've never been it?
They have. Kyle Pitts is absolutely, Kyle Pitts smashed records. As a
in
rookie
college.
Tight end. No, as oh, a rookie okay. tight end with the ghost of Matt Ryan. And then with this new regime and a poor quarterbacking, they're hiding the quarterback, and they should. Because a couple times when they've let him throw it, it's bad. I understand. But that goes back to the whole thing of like, it's a $6 billion franchise. There's one person who touches the ball on every play who's clearly the most important person on the team. And you don't have... You have 2 guys who aren't in the top 50 at that position. That's irresponsible. You have to at least get a Derek Carr level guy. Anything below that is irresponsible. unless you have some very specific, we're going to eat it, save money, and then spend it all the next few years, crazy genius plan. Just this middling win six or seven games every year with a shitty quarterback, it's just terrible. I hate it. It makes me mad.
Yeah, I can. I know it does. I don't know. I just like you. There's not very many great quarterbacks, and I somehow maybe it's, I just don't know the game enough. I just feel like both those guys you listed are they're better to have than Derek Carr. To me, Derek Carr, you know, he's pretty average also, in my opinion. Yeah,
Derek Carr is
average in the scheme of like NFL, but yeah.
Yeah, he's average in the scheme of the NFL, right? But both of the guys we have are way below average in the scheme of the NFL. They keep you out of playoff contention. It's not possible to win a playoff game. With Derek Carr, you could. So that's frustrating to me as a fan. Anyway.
Hasn't Heinicke won a playoff game? Didn't he win one with the Washington one year?
He definitely had some scrappy kind of excitable games where he came in and had some zip and was interesting. Better than expected with low expectations. Maybe you won a playoff game somewhere in there.
I expected the Falcons to just sort of be able to run the ball and just be like, all right, we're going to run the ball. And then, and we're just going to keep hammering the ball. And they don't really do that well either from what I see.
I know. What are they doing? Oh, so frustrating. All right. Here's our longest one.
But now it's time for which comes first. Oh, yes, it's time for which comes first. Now tell me, will this happen before that happens? It's time
where do you get
for
these?
Which comes first.
Where do you get that? Did
this
you make
one,
that yourself?
This one, Glenn and Aaron went off and spent an afternoon and worked on this for a long time.
It's kind of funny, dude.
That's how it's catchy, right?
Yeah.
All right, which comes first, Falcons franchise quarterback or new coach?
Well, they're going to have to get a lot worse to get a franchise quarterback, probably, right?
Probably, but you can occasionally buy one. You can get a Kyler Murray type when they're going to go get somebody else. Maybe there's these moments.
I think they'll get a quarterback first. I don't know. I kind of like. Again, naively, I think this coach has made him better. I think with Dan Quinn, who's supposed to be a genius, they got worse. You know, so I don't know. I think this coach is fine.
Okay, so the franchise quarterback comes first.
Yeah.
All right. Where do the people find you, Tom Simmons? If they're looking to get a little Tom Simmons in their lives, where do they?
I can't imagine that's the case. You know what I'm saying?
No. This is your opportunity to plug.
It's just T Simmons Comedy on Instagram, and then Tom Simmons on Facebook. You know.
Okay.
That's really it. That's where you find me. I guess XM and Sirius, watch the Miss Pat show on BET Plus.
Writer for Miss Pat. I didn't even give you legit credits. I just introduced you as my friend.
Yeah. Well,
the man has credits.
I should have wrote better jokes this week. You know?
Your jokes have been great, man, by the way. I can't believe you're even a little bit sheepish about it. Like your percentage is high. You make me laugh. Like, sometimes when I get texts from people, I'm like, whatever. But when I see your name in my phone, I'm like, oh, it's going to be a good joke in here.
I've had a thing happen with you where I noticed online, like it's like the Pat Show. Like if you write one that's sort of a hit, you get a lot of leeway for the next seven. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, so, you get a little more. Yeah, that's probably true. I'm like, I don't know. Like I don't love this joke, but I guess they do. I don't know.
I think you've had like. I've had a little run with you where you're like, Simmons is writing some good ones. So you've given a couple of them a little more pub than they probably deserve. But
no, that's
I don't know. I'm swinging.
The other way.
You know, this
you
season
have the
I've
other
had a thing
where you're a writer where you see the version that I post, you're like, you tweaked it and kept it from being brilliant.
Yeah.
You fucked it up.
Yes. This week you did it.
What did I do? Do you remember?
I wish I could look, but I think it's you did a meme of one, and I was like, God, he really made that less whatever. And then did I
suck the funny out of it?
Yeah, I can't remember which one now. but it's just a slight wording where I was like, why? It's, I like that word better. Like, you know how I am. You know?
Yeah, so, of course. Well, we all are. Of course, that's what you, right.
Yeah, but I really like, same thing on the Pat show now. It's like, I get, sometimes I'll argue the wording, but I just don't anymore. Like, it's, they're going to do it the way that they hear it in their head. So with you,
right.
I don't even really go back and edit it back. Cause a lot of times you write a joke and then it's like, nah, it worked better this word. And I figure you're going to fix it. If, and really sometimes it's about just the topic. Like when I hit on a couple weeks ago, when I hit on the thing, I can't believe I never thought of like writing about how bad the NFC South was and comparing it to the actual South. You know, like the Civil War, they won more battles in the Civil War and whatever those were. It's like, yeah, I find that sort of angle. And then it's like, then my mind tries to, I end up writing five or six jokes sort of along that line. It's like, oh, this is a new thing I hadn't even thought of, you know, or.
Right, right.
Listening to the game last night when I heard that thing about when he did the Tiger Woods, when he was like, Tiger Woods or whatever, when Jalen Hurst did that, it's like, that was like you, those are the things that jump out.
Both of us perked up at exactly the same moment. Yeah.
You know, like, you have a Tiger Woods play. That means blah, blah, blah. And then I write five or six dumb lines, and then one of them is the joke that you like, or the one that makes you write the joke that you like. That's
right. That's the other thing that people don't know is sometimes just the little spark gets you to something else that winds up being good, but you couldn't have gotten there without the spark. And so that's all part of the process too, right?
It's like you find the little premise, and then the premise opens the door to the jokes, right? And so that's sort of what I get excited by when I find that. Oh, this door right here has jokes behind it. I don't know the jokes yet. Sometimes I'll even start typing it. Like yesterday when I started texting, it was like, they have an audible called the Tiger Wood. And then I just know the joke's going to come to me as I'm typing it. Like, and I don't even have the joke yet sometimes. And I'm typing in the setup.
That's cool.
Cause the setup is the important part, really. You know what I mean? Like that's the, you know, I used to get mad at comics that would sit in the back of the room and do premise shopping. They're not stealing jokes. They're just like, oh, that premise. I like that premise. Like, yeah, that's the fucking hard part.
Yeah, right. That's, you know, right. What I mean? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You heard a premise and now you thought of a punchline and now it's your joke. You're that's still stealing jokes. You know what I mean?
Like, for sure.
That's that unique angle. That's, I like finding those. So that's, I don't know. What was the question?
Where can people find out about you, Tom Stevens? I believe that was the question.
Yes,
you've given them a little
podcast that I have a bunch of them on. I don't know how if I'm going to do it for much longer, to be honest. But it's
interesting.
It's called Dumbest Tom in the Room. Yeah, it's there's about 50 episodes, so there's some funny in there, me talking to people and stuff. So, and
well, people who listen to podcasts like podcasts. What's the name of it again?
Dumbest Tom in the Room.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
All right. How many Toms you got in there?
It's just me. It was.
Yeah, I wonder who it is.
Yeah, it was Dumbest Guy in the Room. You know what I mean? But there's a couple people sort of complained. I already do a thing with Dumbest Guy in the Room. So we just put a piece of tape over Guy and wrote Tom on it and changed it to Dumbest Tom in the Room.
How have I not heard this? I got to go listen to this myself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's.
I got some travel coming up this week.
Yeah, right. Find a couple that you like, you know.
Okay, I'll do it. Thanks for doing this, buddy. It's great to talk to you, even if it's in this weird form. It's nice to hang.
Yeah, yeah. Last time I talked to you, it was from my car in this format, and I was in my car under in a parking lot.
Oh, wow. The pandemic, that was during the pandemic. I remember that, yeah.
And I was like, the end of the world is coming. Everybody get ready. The global warming. You know, I was like, that was when I was in, like, the depths of darkness, you know.
Well, it was the pandemic. It's fair to think about it then, you know. It makes sense. It's a perfectly rational conclusion.
I still think it's all coming down, but whatever.
But slower than we thought.
Well, it's not really. It'll be very quickly once it starts.
Okay, good. Well, this is a good closer.
Yeah.
Tom Simmons, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, man, see you. Is that it?
Hold on.